This is Wade Rathke, and you're listening to Wade's World. It's Friday morning, 9 to 9:30, Central Standard Time in the United States, and your time for the voice of the people. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, where KABF 88.3 is located, or the east side of New Orleans, where WAMF 90.3 is housed, or Greenville, Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points east and west where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at www.kabf.org. A podcast will be available of this show on Monday at that website. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world, and today we're luckily talking to Veronica Stelsova. Pretty close, huh, Veronica? I've been practicing, Stelsova. And we are in, how would you pronounce the name of this town?
We're in Banská Bystrica. Welcome here.
And which is in Slovakia.
Exactly. So, Central Europe.
Central Europe. We're going to do the geography. You're going to know all about it. And welcome to Wade's World, Veronica.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So we've spent almost a week together. We've been all over Slovakia. Learning a lot about the program of what's called CKO, the Center for Community Organizing, but it's actually Centrum, how do you pronounce it in Slovakian?
Centrum Komunitného Organizovania.
Which in English would be Center for Community Organizing.
Exactly.
So what is, tell us a little bit about the history and what's going on with the Center for Community Organizing.
We are a civic association that was founded in 1999. So next year we're going to have 20 years of existence, which is really long for this area of post-communist Europe, because some of you might know that the Soviet regime finished here just in 89, and the 90s were rough years where we were trying to transfer to democracy. And many new things came from abroad, because from before, no civic associations of such type, like being engaged in public life, were not existing, basically because they could not.
So you were starting from scratch.
Exactly. And CK was one of them, the first ones, especially in the region, founded by an American from US, Chuck Hurt, who came to teach or learn people about community organizing. And this is where we started working in several cities all over Slovakia.
Was Chuck located here?
Actually, yeah, he was based in Banská Bystrica, and the work was done from here, which was really good also in a way that it's in the center of the country. So being kind of, our country is very small, I need to remind, and so it's not too far to the east and not too far to the west. So
how small is small for this country? What's the population?
5.5 million on less than 50,000 square kilometers. I'm not sure how much we in mass, but
that's right. But it'd be say the size of Tennessee or a state in the U.S. and about that same population, just for the U.S. listeners. And it's not a flat. I mean, even though we're sort of in the center of Europe, this is not like Iowa. This is a mountainous area.
Exactly. And I just wanted to say that you can drive from one side, from east to west, in 8 hours, and from north to south in 4.5 hours. So this is a way to imagine.
And that's very helpful. So in U.S. terms, that would be about 300 miles, 320 miles on one direction, and about 150, 160 in the other. So if any of you want to go to Slovakia, get some gas in your car and roll. In fact, Veronica was telling me on a personal note, we were talking about a highway through a community that when she got gas at home, she didn't need to bother filling up until she was out of the country. So if they change the way the gas stations were located, no problem, right? We'll get to that issue.
And besides, the railway and buses infrastructure is really well developed, which is a heritage of communism, apparently, and is widely used, and it's quite cheap. It's very cheap, actually.
It's very cheap. No, believe me, we heard a little bit about the price structure. So we're taking a bus tomorrow from here to Bratislava. And Bratislava is the name of the capital, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. That's half the big city.
Half million inhabitants.
Yeah, that's the big city.
This is what we call it, little big city.
A little big city.
Yeah.
So we're taking a bus, and it takes about, 2.5 hours
exactly.
or so?
Exactly.
Which is almost the same time as driving. Mm-hmm. How much will that bus cost?
€8 per person.
€8 per person, which is maybe $10.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
It's not the mega bus. I know those of you who are listening know the mega bus, and they claim you can get on for $1 and go from New Orleans to Houston or someplace like that. But that's a cheap ride, €8 or $10 to get all the way to the capital. I don't want to get too far off the subject. So CKO was founded almost 20 years ago,
yep.
And... Chuck had been an organizer somewhere in the U.S., I assume, or at some point. He must have had some experience in community organizing in the U.S. a little bit.
He came like experienced organizer.
And he came over originally to do a project with NDI, no? Is that right?
Exactly. This is what I remember, though. I joined the organization 5 years ago, so this is a history that was told to me, and I'm trying to pass it on.
But we're going to assume that you were not told fake news, that you were told the real story of CKO. So the story I've heard is he was on a project with NDI, which is the National Democratic Institute, which is funded through Act of Congress in the U.S. and can only be involved in civic engagement. So he would have probably taken a posting over here with NDI in this period of post-communist restructuring that Veronica has described, when the people of Slovakia were trying to rebuild civil society. Would that be a fair way to summarize it?
I think you said it well.
So one thing we might give in background before we get too much more deeply into CKO is people are probably confused. They probably know the term from high school geography, Czechoslovakia, there's now the Czech Republic and Slovakia are two different countries. How long has that been the case?
Since 1993, we separated. It was a mostly political agreement of the two countries, so no conflict going on. Basically, because we've been two nations that got united sometimes in the history, and this is how we were on also through, let's say, communist times or, as a part of the Eastern Bloc that time. So we are a country as such since 1994, as we are.
And part of the breakup of communism was based on the Prague Spring. I mean, at that point, Slovakia was part of Czechoslovakia, and the famous situations in Prague came about, impacted all of these questions as well, right?
Actually, Prague Spring was in 68.
That's
that
right.
was a small
You're exactly
revolution.
Right. What am I saying?
But then we had another one in 1989. So this is what we call Velvet Revolution.
Right.
But we can't say that the Prague Spring was happening just in the our that time capital. It was also Slovakia was all involved. So whole country as Czechoslovakia was involved in that.
And why did they call it the Velvet Revolution?
Because it was peaceful. There was no. I wouldn't say that it was not violent, because you could see pictures of people standing in front of Soviet tanks. Because this is how Soviet army invaded Slovakia in the 68, right at the Prague Spring, but still it was compared to other revolutions, a peaceful one.
Good. So we're talking about CKO, the Center for Community Organizing in Slovakia. Veronica, you said you'd been with CKO 5 years. Do you work all over the country, or is CKO mainly here in central Slovakia? How would you describe the work of CKO?
Where did I stop? The last question was that time when it was founded in 2000, and after it was working mostly in this post-communist neighborhood. neighborhoods that was trying to increase the living standard, involving people in that debate or in that actions, mostly because these post communist neighborhoods were built by communists with low infrastructure, with no shops. So it was a tendency that people started to move out, and the neighborhood were becoming poorer. So it was really important to change something in order to prevent that situation. But currently, I mean, there is no more in such a need. And currently what we are mostly involved is in the work in this region, because besides Banská Bystrica, which is a regional county capital, there is big unemployment all over the region, and there is big, I would say, even brain drain, people living to live in the capital or sometimes in many cases also abroad, and they feeling that capital doesn't pay much attention to their problems. It's the capital is not developing infrastructure, or state government doesn't develop their infrastructure. They tend to support far right radical parties.
Let's talk about that.
So this is what we are mostly involved in. But there are some other works where we work in communities. We run a community center of civic with focus on civic engagement in one of the neighborhoods, and we are very aware we have several other programs.
You and one of your associates, Martina, and others, Maros and others with CKO, gave a fascinating case study of a coalition put together over the last year here in this central region that seemed to have been very important in putting together a fair number of groups around this more conservative tilt of government. Together, what was the full name? Together There Are More of Us, or something like that? What was it?
Or Together We Are More.
Together We Are More.
There
right.
was a campaign that we were standing against a neo-Nazi leader that became a head of the county 4 years ago, more than 4 years ago, because we had elections in between, and that was...
So those are the elections of 2013, and yeah. All of a sudden he won to everybody's... This is something a lot of the U.S. people in the meeting could identify with. He won, but no one expected he would, right?
Yeah, it was a big surprise and a big
yeah,
shock.
One of those painful surprises. We know, Americans know what those surprises are like now.
And unfortunately, thanks to this... the surprise, and he made it all the way to Parliament, having several seats there, so, with his party.
And the party was basically trying to argue they wanted things to go. I mean, you call it a neo-Nazi party. I guess I should ask, why was it referred to that way? It was anti-immigrant, it was anti-Rome. I mean, what?
It's both. And besides, it's anti-European Union. Besides this man was a member of neo-Nazi group or neo-fascist group.
Oh, okay.
Before he started his branch his political career. So and we know it because there's some references with the pictures, seeing him admiring some historical leaders from our Nazis' history from the World Wars, and referring to them. So,
was he a young man, or was he somebody who dated back to the war?
No, he's a young person.
Just this is where he decided to.
And that's why he attracts young people. So, because this party. Was in the elections that we were referring to supported mostly but by the first voters and by young people. That somehow it was connected by the fact that the country was led by trying to be a left-wing populist party Their parents are voters of this party, so they were trying also to
split the
be in revolution or against the parents and show it off also this way. But there are many, many factors, and that's why also one of our program is work in schools, primary and secondary schools. My colleague has leads that program, and there is several activities when she goes to school and works with values, because we found out that that's the fact that determines the decisions of these young people. So that's one of the programs, solid work with the schools.
So how did y'all put together the Together Coalition? Who was involved? When did you start? I mean, the elections were last November, were they? 2017?
Well, I mean, that was Together We Are More. It's a campaign that started literally last year and early spring, especially because of the elections. But what's behind is not in our town platform. That was inspired by a story of a town in US. That's why we took a name when he got elected. So actually the platform is was founded 4 years ago, something a bit more than 4 years ago, by one of the activists here in Banská Bystrica. And along the way, it was getting more and more people in the core group and more supporters who are either activists or people from some institutions that were in danger of this ruling party in the region, or professors or some other people that teach in the universities, young artists or any artists of any age, I would say. So it's really variety group of
And some churches were involved, right? Or am I wrong?
Few churches too. Uh-huh. Exactly. Church leaders, I would say.
Mm-hmm. So it was more a body, a campaign headed by, I mean, I know it was, I heard that 20 or 25 was those individuals or groups or both, or what would you say?
Mostly individuals, but some of them had the groups behind them.
Okay. And what kind of program did it undertake? Because it wanted to be involved and sort of send a message to people for the election, right?
One thing was the campaign under the mobilization part. Then the other thing was work in communities, that is really important, and vulnerable communities, but also work with majority that is not radicalized yet, but it's like a gray zone, what we call scientifically, I would say.
And then sort of the silent majority, the way it was referred to in the U.S. some years ago, but people who might have been receptive to the neo-Nazi or the right-wing program, but were still skeptical, as I think she described it. So mm-hmm. You wanted to focus on those people who could still be moved back into the mainstream or away from the right, correct?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And through that, we had under the campaign a manifesto that all these people involved put together. And manifesto was basically carrying out the message to go for tolerance and support democratic candidates, which was really difficult that time, because we had 13 candidates in those elections. Some of them were very weak, and no one actually understands why they went in it. But
we all wonder why people sometimes run for office, don't we? Go ahead.
And there were three people that were strong, considered 3 to 4 people considered like strong candidates supporting the democratic ideas. So we were not coming with a name. We were coming with a message that was, do not vote for not democratic candidates, or vote to democratic one.
And part of the message was this point about values, you're saying, that you were arguing, the coalition campaign was arguing, that the values of the Together campaign were the real values of Slovakians, not the ruling government. Is that a fair way of saying it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And so, but I know this culminated in a large rally here in the regional capital, yes?
For such a small town, although one of the bigger in Slovakia, which is 80,000 people, the rally was really big because around 500 people came there, and we were walking from one side of the square, passing few streets and going back, and then there was a program with speeches of some important people.
But not any of the politicians. The three main candidates came to the rally, I heard, but they weren't allowed to speak. Why was that?
Because we were not telling public whom to vote. The message was very clear. And we also had kind of agreement, or we were sitting with them several times in order to get to agreement that one, in a certain time, approximately a month before election, they're going to give up and send a message to their voters to vote for the strongest one according to the polls, which actually happened, and we are very thanks to that.
That's a miracle. I mean, to have three leading candidates all converge with one candidate they're willing to support, that made a big difference, because I think your colleague was explaining that they changed the rules so that rather than it being a runoff between the two leading candidates, it was what's called first past the post. Whoever got the most votes ended up mm-hmm. as the winner with no runoff, and that would have potentially I'm sure the neo-Nazi thought he was coming right back into office with that rule, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
So we have a happy ending of the story. Who won the election?
One of the liberal candidates. He was candidating as an independent person, a local businessman who ran a very successful small, I would say, family company.
Uh-huh.
And now he really started to do what he promised. He's in the seat for, this is the third month, and he already got together with some representative of the civic sphere or NGOs, and we're looking forward for the cooperation, and also we will make sure that it will be all transparent. And now we have another challenge in terms of town elections coming next year.
Are those this year or
local
next year?
Elections? November this year.
This year, because I know we were talking to a mayor in a small town yesterday about those elections. We're talking to Veronika Stelisova, who's with CKO and some other programs about situations here in Slovakia. So a lot of the work for CKO now is in small communities in central Slovakia. What's that about?
Well,
what's the strategy?
We are trying to work with the communities to give them voice. There are variety communities, as you mentioned. The mayor, that's a small village of 1,000 inhabitants. But then we also work with small Roma communities. One, for example, at the edge of the city, Banská Bystrica, but the other one in the countryside, nearby a very small village, and several others like that. And the idea behind is that we did a research after the elections in 2013, what were the areas or the cities where was the high support for this neo-Nazi leadership, and
it was in those small villages, huh?
It were small villages, but also some bigger towns.
Uh-huh.
And what we basically decided that we are going to work there both with minority and majority. Minority as people endangered by this leadership, and majority as people who actually will make the decision as a Democratic majority.
So even though the coalition and others won November, this is a long way from being over here in Slovakia. This is an ongoing threat to democratic society. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, it's the process. And I would like to add that this work on, with these smaller communities, it's under a project community organizing in the region Banská Bystrica, so it should be focused and in our county or in our region in central Slovakia. And we started last year in at the end of spring or early summer. So the work is at its beginning. And
I know we met a half dozen organizers who'd been on only the last 6 months in a planning meeting yesterday, which was very interesting for all of us. You know, one thing I haven't asked you about is another part of your portfolio is something called the Professional Fellows Program. That what's that?
We are running this program in Slovakia since 2012, where when I was part of the exchange. And exchange itself is both ways. So we're sending Slovak people to for the internship and some other professional program connected to the visits of significant community organizing NGOs or some public institutions, and also a conference in D.C. So that's a six-week placement in U.S., twice a year, and we used to send 6 to 10 fellows, and these fellows then, with their organizations, with our support, receive their mentors. So this is partially the way how you got here.
Yeah, no, it's exactly how I got
spending
here.
A week in Slovakia, right. Connecting with this organizations and small communities, and as a part of it, there is of course also a mentoring of the person that our fellows been in touch in the organization of their placement in US. And we try to support that that contact. It's ongoing. And I would like to add that in this program, besides Slovakia, there is also Bulgaria, Hungary, and Romania as the kind of neighboring countries in the region or nearby countries in this region. And this year we are adding also Albania. That's a challenge.
And you're in the process of recruiting now, I know, because we had a meeting the other day when we first got here with some potential people who are on, some of them are already on their way to the U.S. Here soon in the spring, and others are, you know, thinking about putting in an application. So it's
And we'll travel in the autumn, so our call is open until the end of March. We are expecting many registrations, and but also on the other side, we are welcoming U.S. organizations that are doing community organizing, activist work, or different type of work in communities, either locally or statewide or nationwide. That can be our partners on the other side.
No, we're spreading the word because I know Acorn International has been a partner. Now on this program, this is our sort of first, we're the rookies, we're just new people on the street here, and some people have done this for years, but this has been a fascinating program. Veronica, if people, I mean obviously we're getting the word out, a lot of people don't know about Slovakia, don't realize there's obviously a fight here for citizen rights and empowerment just like there is everywhere else. If people want to know more about CKO or your program, how do they get in touch with you or CKO or any of the things we've been talking about? Is there a website or your email, or what do you want to tell people?
Any of these. So please check our website, which is www.cko.sk. First, that stands for Slovakia. We are very active on Facebook, updating anything, for example, from this week's visits of, besides you, there were five more mentors, so you're going to see what they did in Slovakia and how the program was interesting.
And I know every time we turn around, you're taking a picture, so that must be up on the Facebook somewhere.
Is there?
Is there?
Be sure that it's there. Yeah. And also, yeah, I would be glad if you have any questions, just write me an email on Veronica@cko.sk.
And that's Veronika.
A. It's not with C.
Not with C. It's with a K-A at C-K-O dot S-K. Is that right?
Exactly.
Thank you, Veronica. This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard. And as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, when we'll have another guest, this is Wade Rathke from Wade's World.